Hey there, multi-prep teachers. You know how professional development never seems to quite get to what we need? It's like, great idea, but how do I make this work when I have 3+ preps to juggle? That's exactly why I created the Simplify Your Preps Collective. It's a free Facebook group built just for teachers like you, where we share tips, resources, and real talk about making multi-prep teaching less overwhelming and more doable. Sound like your kind of space? Head to kristenmasick.com/collective and join us today. Let's simplify together. I will admit that I have not always had simple systems. That has not been my entire life, especially in education. And I also want to let you know that I still work all the time at continually making things simpler in my job, but then also at home with my children and my husband. This idea of being simple or having a simple life, a simple way of teaching, has really been what was the key to help save me as a multiple prep teacher. So I wanted today to go over some of the things that I think of when it comes to simplifying and what were some of the ways that I was able to simplify when it came to teaching, and they can be some ideas that you might be able to adopt in your own teaching practice. Welcome to the Secondary Teacher Podcast, the podcast for middle and high school teachers juggling multiple preps to get the strategies to reduce overwhelm so that you don't have to choose between being an effective teacher and prioritizing important relationships. I'm your host, Kristen Masick, a 10-year high school engineering teacher, former middle school assistant principal, and teacher coach. Every week, we will discuss strategies, systems, and time-saving tips to help you not only survive, but thrive as a multiple prep teacher. A few years ago, I read the book The Joy of Missing Out by Tanya Dalton, and the basic premise of the book was this idea of deciding what was important in your life, therefore removing things from your life, making things simpler, being more productive, more intentional about the things that you brought into your life to therefore have a more fulfilling life. And once again, just kind of like enjoying, that's the joy of missing out. So giving up some things so that you can have the best of things. I want to bring that back into things that I did in my classroom, some mistakes that I made, and then some ways that I was able to simplify. So I was working with a teacher this last week, and one of the mistakes that I was reminded of that I told him about was I had created a booklet for my robotics class during the summer. And the idea behind the booklet is that it was going to have a place for all of the bell ringers for the entire year. I had like one of those old school comb binders, and I brought it home and I color coded all of the sections, so I had enough sheets in there for first term, second term, third term. But then I got even more detailed, and I had a specific template that I had used on each of the pages, and it looked great. So it was beautiful, but I ended up ditching it because I had gone into each one of those days and I had written out questions that I wanted them to answer every single time, and I printed that in the book. Well, 2 weeks into the school year, I realized I was not getting the responses, the answers that I wanted from those questions. And so I had literally wasted, or felt like I had wasted, quite a bit of my summer putting together these booklets that we did not use beyond those 2 weeks because I wanted to shift in a different direction. So here's the mistake that I made. I spent a lot of time on the back end of making this system look good and function without really testing it out. If I were to do this again, quite honestly, I would have kids just pull out a sheet of paper and write down the bell ringer. It wouldn't be anything that I had to create beforehand. It would be something simple that they could just do every single day. And if I handed them out anything, maybe it was a quarter sheet of paper or something else, and they just turned it into me. And there was nothing pre-done on there, so there wasn't a lot of work for myself, therefore simplifying. The other thing, too, going along strand, that same vein, was having graphic organizers. Graphic organizers are great. I'm not going to say that they are not great, but I felt like I had to have a different one for every single thing that I did. I did not choose like one specific graphic organizer that I would use for everything. That's what I would change, is having something like that. Or, quite honestly, your graphic organizer doesn't necessarily have to be printed. So I was in a collaboration meeting today with another one of my teacher coach colleagues, and she simply took a piece of paper and folded it into quarters and was like, here you go. Here's your graphic organizer. Your students, while it's not graphic, it was going to be organized into quadrants. And there was a front side and a back side. And you could literally tell students what to write in each of those. There was no prep that had to be done on her part except for getting a piece of paper to give to her students. She did not have to find anything. She did not have to buy anything on Teachers Pay Teachers. She didn't really have to do anything except know that, hey, I want my students to divide their responses into four quadrants or four spaces. Here you go. We're going to fold it and we're going to be on our way. The next mistake that I made all of the time was not relying on rinsing and repeating, or I would create new things for every single one of my classes, every single one of my preps. I was doing something different every single class, period. So if I was teaching four different preps in one day, I was doing four different things in one day, rather than coming up with the basic topic that I was going to be teaching in those different classes, because those classes, beyond my control, we're going to be four different preps, but then utilizing the same protocols in each one. So for example, I could use any teaching strategy that I felt was working well. Once again, my favorite one that I used all the time because it got my students up and moving and talking with one another was the gallery walk. I did not utilize this well enough in each one of my classes. So it would be like every few weeks, we would do a gallery walk in this class, and then we'd do one in this class. And every time I had to set up or shift my class or get out the supplies or manage all of that, when in reality, what I could have been doing was having a gallery walk happen in every single class period that day. The desks could be arranged a certain way. I could have all the markers already out. Very little prep or switching over between each of my classes. That would have saved me a ton of time and would have really simplified the work and everything that I had to do to prepare for those classes. Now, the last mistake or big mistake that I wanted to share with you on today's episode has to do with grading, because there were a lot of times that I overcomplicated the grading process. So there are lots of different ways that I overcomplicated the grading process. One was making it multi-step from when the students turned something in to when I graded it. So the biggest mistake that I made was having too many steps. So for example, having an assignment that they went on to an LMS and they got the instructions from the assignment there. But then in order for me to assess how they were doing, I had them take a picture and submit it. So now you might think, okay, well, that's not bad. Like, we do that all the time. But let's think about it. I had them in class working, and they were doing it. It was maybe some sort of project where they were sketching. So they were sketching out in their engineering design notebook, and I had them sketch things. And then not only did I have them create the sketches, I had already had the examples up on the wall of what an exemplar would look like at their level for proficiency. I had that up on the wall so students could go and check it. They could look it over. And then I made them take a picture of it and submit it on the LMS. So while they were doing all of that, I do remember I was like planning for other classes because I was drowning. But then later on, I would have to wait for all of those photos to come in to be submitted. And there were students who would always have technical issues, like their Chromebook or whatever they were using to take the photos wasn't working, or they were submitting the wrong file type. So many times, instead of submitting a JPEG, they would submit like a GIF or something else. It caused errors. They would have issues. And then I would finally get to grade it. Okay, so let's go back to this. How could I have made this simpler? There were some great things that I was already doing. So for example, I had an exemplar up on the wall. I had it ready. The students could go self-check. Well, once they self-checked, I literally could have had them show it to me and it would have taken me 2 seconds to enter it into the gradebook. Or I could have been walking around and just checked on them as I was going around and saw that they were checking things and just verified that what they were checking and self-assessing was working out. I did not need to bring in the LMS into any of it. What I think I should have been doing in those cases and what I did improve on was using the LMS as a way to keep resources and information and instructions for projects. It would also be just a hub for students to find my videos that I created, all of these things, but I wouldn't really use it a ton to have students submit their work because it was taking more of my time to go through all of that red tape, go figure out all those issues, all the technicalities, all the technical stuff to end up finally grading it. So I felt like I was doing like 5 times the amount of work that I really needed to do. So where do you go from here? Let's think about how are you going to simplify your school year? So this is what I want you to do. The next time that you sit down to plan anything, I want you to take a moment and ask yourself after you have come up with an idea. So first off, I want you to set a timer so that you are not spending a ton of time coming up with said ideas. 5-10 minutes max. Because as I like to say a lot, your first idea is a great one. You don't need to spend a ton of time figuring out something that will be the best. Then once you get that idea, I want you to run it through the lens of how can I simplify this thing? Or am I overcomplicating it when it really could be simple? How do I save myself time and also save my students time while I'm doing this and simplifying it? So if today's episode was helpful for you, it could be for others. Make sure to tag me on Instagram at Kristen Masick, KHRSTENMASSIC. Until next week.